listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Reading from John chapter 17, the prayer of the Lord Jesus shortly before he died. Reading the last number of verses, beginning at verse 20, reading through the 26th verse. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray that this prayer of the Lord Jesus will be fulfilled in our time, if it could be as well, that this blessing might be known as Christ prayed, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And as we mentioned last week, if this would be believed by the world, there would be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Lord willing, we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. But let's pray that we'll understand this prayer and want it to be fulfilled in us for God's glory, for the glory of Christ, for the good of the world, for time and eternity. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been given, all that Thou hast done, especially, Father, in so loving the world that Thou dost give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray, Father, that our familiarity with that verse may not lessen its worth, its full meaning, its greatness, its blessing. And, Father, as Christ prayed and told Nicodemus just before that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And, Father, we know now that He was but some hours away from being lifted up on the cross, being made a curse for us. And, Father, we give thanks that we can have that gospel, as Paul could describe it, Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures, being buried, and rising again. We pray, Father, that that may be believed in the church rightly, fully, and also with the blessing that can come from it, that we may have faith. And then, Father, that in having that together, and the church being one, that the world will also know it. Know it, Father, because it is stated in Thy Word, because it has happened, and also, Father, that the proof of it will be in the oneness in the church for Thy glory and for the good of the rest of the world, as well as the good of the church, the good of the home, and each individual life, that blessing of peace and contentment in Thee and in Christ. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs of those that are in illness, injury, hungry, homeless, war-torn lands, sorrowing, those, Father, in older age, the weakness. We pray for each and every one. We pray also, Father, for each nation, the leaders of every nation. We pray that Thou put Thy fear in their hearts, that they might have the beginning of wisdom and not be foolish. We pray for schools and workplace, all these needs, Father. The blessings in nature, we give thanks for what has been given, and we pray for those especially that have suffered in the ravages of nature and are still suffering. Pray for Thy mercy on them all through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we look once more at this prayer of the Lord Jesus, 24 hours later, He would be buried in the tomb, as Isaiah speaks of it in chapter 53. As Paul speaks of it, and as we mentioned in prayer, that is part of the gospel which Paul preached, and which those heard it were saved by it. Paul says, unless they believed in vain. And there are some who believe it only historically and take pride in it. We have the truth, but do not continue in the truth and do not acknowledge the fullness of the truth to be set free. Like the Jews mentioned in chapter 8, they said, we never were in bondage. We all are in bondage. All. All died in Adam. And all are in bondage because of our own sin. Christ says, whosoever sinneth is in bondage. We are in captivity of our sin. Sin is a power over us. First bringing us into sin, and then sin committed makes us weaker and weaker. Our strength must be from God and through Christ. even here to be one. Again, I want to think of that because it's so very much needed. We're so far from it, so far from it. Terrible, terrible, terrible. As I said, I mentioned last week that if the world would hear this message and believe it, they would be one. We wouldn't have all these nations within themselves, the civil strife, the terribleness of it. Sometimes many groups, not only two, but many, all fighting each other. But when I said that, I thought the world might come back and say, well, what about the church? They fought too, and they did. Why? Because they weren't one. I say it again, because they were not one. Even as great as the Reformation was, the terribleness of the wars that followed, the terribleness of the persecution that also followed, part of the church persecuting another part of the church, putting them to death, calling them heretics. Maybe some were, but are we to kill the heretics? They have to be put out of the church. They have to be disciplined. They have to be warned. But a part of the church would get the government to do its bidding and get the government to kill people. Government is there. It's very plain our responsibility to them. Romans 13. There are no powers that be but are of God. But they are there for the well-being of the people, and they are there for the good of the people. But when the church wants to use the government to make the rest of a nation like themselves, I'm afraid it's more in wickedness than righteousness. God warned in Psalm 50, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. Many wrong in the church persecuted others that were less wrong, wanting the others to be under their subjection, and far, far, far from doing in the right way, making oneness among themselves in the church, and then oneness from the world. So preaching the gospel like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, following this death and resurrection and ascension, making those that would hear one with them, praising God and having favored all the people. They continued daily in one accord in the temple. That's what that early church was like. And that's what was noted. We can read later, though some of the leaders of the Jews persecuted them, so they took note that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John were now one. They had one message together, and the message of Christ and Christ alone. As Paul would say later to the Corinthians, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Where are the servants in the church? Like we sometimes hear the saying, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And I'm afraid there's a lot of that. Too much of that. I've seen it. People that weren't called by God wanted to be the chief. Not beginning to learn, not beginning as little children, but beginning as if we know it, when we must yet have much to learn. Much to learn from Christ. Much to learn from all of the Word of God. And that learning alone, God's learning, God's teaching, can bring us to what Christ here prayed for, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us. Many people just dismiss that and say, oh, that won't be here on earth. That won't be till heaven, and walk away. Don't want to be one. Would rather ridicule somebody that believes different than themselves. I've heard people even say, well, so-and-so was a pretty good preacher in spite of being this or that in a different denomination than they are. As if that's a wonder. No, it's not a wonder. The others could be better than they. But they're thinking, well, that's a wonder that so-and-so is a good preacher, or such-and-such a church has a good preacher. That's not such a wonder. Christ said the first will be last, and the last will be first. And God's way is higher than our ways, much higher, as high as the heavens is above the earth. So are God's ways than our ways. And there is no man, none, prophet, preacher, pastor, elder, teacher, that's up there with God. Not till after they die. Or when Christ comes again. Only then we will know as we are known. Now we see through a glass darkly. And I'm afraid too many don't even want to see this, which Christ prayed for, in which we should beg God and say, Lord, fulfill that prayer in me and in others today. Just think of, if this would be true in the church, wouldn't it also have to be true in the home? Could people be in church apart from one another, hating one another, in pride? If the church was really like this, each church in itself being truly one, each one being in the right place, in order, parents, children, teachers, pastors, elders, all having respect for the office in the right way, and nobody lording it over others, having one head, Christ, and recognizing Him as He is, I in thee, He said, and thou in me. Do we know that? Do we know it rightly in the church so we can tell the heathen, so we can tell the false religions that this is true, and this is the only truth in the world? No one can get in this place beside Christ. Listen again, Father, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That has to be believed, acknowledged, submitted to. And only when we do submit to it, that then we can have the next, that they also may be one in us, seeing who the Father is, seeing who the Son is, seeing their relationship. And that's what we see first in this first prayer. The first prayer for one is already for the apostles in the time of Christ. That was in the 11th verse. But now coming down here, the first verse that we read, I pray not for these alone, praying for the apostles. He said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that has taken place through every generation since that. Even in the worst of times, we can trace the church here or there or there. Sometimes a particular church not continuing to exist. The candlestick being taken away, as Christ warned the Ephesians. Spewed out of the mouth, as He warned the Laodicean church. But then there will be churches in other places. Some people want to trace each church back to the time of the apostles. Possibly it may be so, but I'm afraid when we do that we have very many negligent churches along the way that will not endure sound doctrine, that have not come to the fullness of right doctrine and have not been one with anything outside of themselves. And some of them may be having to be separate because they were persecuted. But all through the generations, there have been those that Christ here prayed for, that they may be one, as the Father and the Son are one, through their word, through the word of the apostles, through the word that the apostles spoke already earlier, sometimes an example of they themselves needed repentance, as we can see the apostles that were chosen referred to in the Gospels. They had to be reproved by Christ. At one time He says, are you also yet without understanding? And we have to learn from them that we need to be taught as they were taught. And they were taught, and they did become one. And they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. That's when what I just read a moment ago from Acts chapter 2 took place, when they were in that. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord. They had been praying, and we need to pray in that same way today. I believe prayer will precede other blessings. It preceded it with Elijah. It preceded it with Josiah. It preceded it throughout history. Before the Great Awakening, the church was praying. And Christ has promised men ought always to pray and not to faint. And though he states in a statement that's probably a little hard to understand, he says, though he bear a long time with them, he will answer them speedily. It has been a long time since we have really seen revival in the church sent by God. Revival isn't just putting a sign by the road and saying revival on such and such a date. There may or may not be a revival on that date. If God's Spirit comes, there will be. If God's Spirit doesn't come, there will not be. Revival comes from heaven. Even as Jonathan Edwards said of that great awakening, in the month of December, God began extraordinarily to work amongst us. He recognized it. When God's work began, sinners began to listen. Sinners began to repent. Sinners began to turn and believe and change, especially it began with the young people. And how we need that today, that there will be then good marriages, prepared marriages, and then lasting marriages. And we still need it in the home to rescue those homes that are literally on fire and will go to eternal fire if there's not repentance. And I warn you, if you are in such a state, I see terrible pride, terrible hatred, terrible bitterness between husbands and wives, and sadly sometimes whole families, the parents of the husband, the parents of the wife, joined together, hating each other. And this is taking place. And it's awful, so far from this prayer of Christ in the church and in the home. And many times both are guilty. And I've said it before, but I need to say it until we see a change. Yes. No change, as Christ said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You will perish with the worst as you see them. You will perish with the others as you see them. And we need to see it. And the church is part of it. Husbands, wives, parents, and the church. Preachers, I mentioned it before. I want to say what they said that again, but they are guilty, very guilty. And do not believe that we need to be one. Christ said they may be one. And as I said before, the world might say, well, if we just listen to you, are you better? And we haven't always been. We need to repent. We need to have, as Peter said, if judgment must begin, it must begin at the house of the Lord. The Lord Jesus says, take the beam out of your own eye first. We must want to be one. We must also realize we cannot make ourselves one with others rightly, and we cannot make others one with us rightly, except God does it, except Christ does it. And that especially comes out in the last one of the ones. First we have, they all may be one. Then the second time, I and thee, and they also may be one in us. And then those wonderful words in verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. It almost makes me tremble. Do we have that? Stephen had it. They saw his face looked as the face of an angel. Moses had it at times. Here, the glory which thou gavest me. God gave glory to Christ. We must see that first. And again, in the church, and I would say it especially to heathen religions that do not give place to Christ. In the church, we must see the separation. Heathen religions do not believe this. None of them. Find me one that does. As I said to one once when he asked if I considered such and such a religion, I said, do they have a Savior that died for me? They don't. This one was about to die. As I said, 24 hours later, he would be in the grave. but still the victory over sin and death and hell. And the victory that he can give to us. As John writes later, this is the victory, even our faith. Faith in this one that is here speaking to the Father, and his words being recorded by John for us, and something we can have from Christ. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Well, is it just those before that then? Just the apostles? When he says, I pray not for them alone? Here again, we must see that he is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He gave that glory to Abraham, and as I said, Moses. A little later, he would give it to Stephen, filled with the Spirit of whom Christ said, he will take the things of mine and show them to you. Stephen saw them, believed it, and then saw it literally. Just before he died, he says, I see the heavens opened, and he saw the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Many places we see that after he ascended, he sat down on the right hand of God. But when Stephen died, he was standing, looking, watching, controlling, beginning to control Saul, who agreed to his death at that time, but a short time later would be stopped by Christ and be made one. One with Christ, one with the others. A wonderful oneness. It took some time at Corinth. They argued, they spoke against him. But then, when he wrote to them, they repented. And he said, after that repentance, your fervent mind toward me. It brought oneness. His reproof to the Corinthians brought oneness. And that's what we need. We need to exhort one another. We need to call each other to repentance. And as Paul can say to Timothy and Titus, of those that are not in line, rebuke them sharply that others may fear. We need that. I was reading a William Weber course and the wonderful way that God taught him, first for himself, of sin and of Christ. Then, how he worked with others in government, even those that had been his enemies. He reconciled with them, and they could work together after that. The wonderful way in his family, for the poor, and worked so hard to set slaves free. Truly an influence in the nation. We need it today, in our homes, churches, and nation, as God worked there. Pray for it.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.